Sweet. Well, let's go.
All right.
Well, another Design Intent podcast. Today we have a guest, Neil Everett, and we're going to talk to Neil about his design path from when he got out of school. And Neil and I crossed paths a lot, working at IBM, Philips Design, Dell, and now, Neil, you're back at IBM. Do you want to try to give us a little brief introduction?
Yes. So thanks for having me in. As Tony was saying, I worked and met Tony originally back in the mid-90s working at IBM. And currently, I'm back at IBM. I'm one of the design leads working on IBM hybrid cloud software, enterprise-focused, and really happy to be joining you guys today.
Cool. Well, Neil, why don't you tell us, I think Dan and Aaron, you know, we're all industrial designers, 3D designers. You've been spending most of your time doing GUI design, not graphic design like the old days. But I remember early on in our career, you were very outspoken about, no, man, it's not about the hardware. And we would have constant arguments about us being, you know, fussing over the shape and where the logo went, and you're like, man, it just doesn't matter. It's like, it's what's on the screen, and you're right. So I mean, I'm here to admit.
Well, I started my career traditionally educated as a graphic designer. Back at the time when I went to school, there wasn't the field of interaction design and digital product design that we have today, and so when I originally got my internship at IBM, it was working a lot with more with print. And when I met Tony, I had worked with the PC company at IBM and was doing a lot of packaging design. And at that point, a lot of the internet had started taking off. Mm-hmm. And so it caused a gradual shift from graphic designers who were print-based to take those skills and apply those in a more interactive type of medium. And so, you know, for me, it was a huge shift in skill set, taking a lot of what was taught in school, you know, form, color, typography, hierarchy of information, but applying it to a brand new digital medium. And at that point, it was really primitive. The screen resolutions were generally poor, HTML, the way it rendered, didn't give us the same fidelity that we have today, but it was a huge shift for all graphic designers. And so we were doing much more work focusing on, you know, what were the interfaces like on the devices that we were making. And so Tony and I were going to always get into these kind of debates about what was more important, the hardware or the software. It turns out they're both equally important, especially the integration of the two.
So what was the trigger? Because many people traditional graphic designers, and I say traditional, just sort of the typical print, just raw graphic design. What was the trigger that made you want to switch and go from kind of being an illustrator graphic designer into a user interface designer?
I think it was the first time I saw motion happen. We all see when you go to a movie and you see like the really cool trailers at the beginning.
Like motion graphics?
Motion, yeah. Okay. Motion of seeing the typography actually move. And I remember, you know, at that time, IBM's first web page came out in around 95, 96. And you were getting much more of the animated logo types, and you were starting to see, like, stories being told through typography. And that really piqued my interest to pick up newer tools. At the time, like, Flash was happening, and you started to get much more interactivity. CD-ROMs at the time were big, and really wanted to like convert those skills over because I could see that the industry was heading in a different way. Print had a meaning, and it had a definite value at the time, but where the value was heading for design, from my perspective, was much more in the interactive medium.
Or where the growth is.
Exactly.
Yeah, and probably
exactly.
Continues to be.
Right.
Do you feel like that transition is on an accelerated path, like continually accelerating, or do you think it's fairly constant in terms of the overall UX market, let's say, or demand?
It's continuing to grow because we're facing things now that we even hadn't anticipated. Like within the past 8 years, we're having to deal with big data, machine learning. And those are all kinds of brand new design problems.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're dealing with like interfaces which don't have a UI. When you talk to the Alexa or when you talk to Siri, those are still design problems that we have that fit into the domain of user experience.
But there's really not a whole lot of graphics.
But there's not a lot of graphic behind
traditional graphics associated with it.
So then you kind of ask yourself, like, well, which discipline when you come through a design school is best equipped to handle those type of interactions? It's some cross between, more surface industrial design as opposed to like graphical design. But there's some mix in the middle where you enter in this whole new discipline called consumer experience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. So obviously you've been through a lot of change in the industry from starting from traditional graphics into where we are now, and it seems like, you know, as you mentioned, with the introduction of some of these AI type devices, it's like, you know, you're sort of unknown territory we're sort of entering into, and then who knows what else is after that.
Exactly. We honestly don't know where a lot of it's going. We know it is accelerating, it is changing. So as a designer, it's part of your responsibility to like have to dive into the technology to see where it's heading, to see where you need to evolve your skills at. And sometimes it's beyond what you were traditionally trained at. I've seen people come into the software industry who have more of a product design, like a hard, like physical product.
Yeah.
Transition into interaction design. And you also see people who come in from like an HCI background who do much more broadening of their skills.
Sure.
To encapsulate things like research and newer interaction patterns that are following some of the newer devices.
Yeah.
With voice UI.
Okay. Now, I've known a number of traditionally trained industrial designers who seem to have moved over into the UX and interaction design. From your experience, I've never worked in that field myself, but from your experience, how have those folks been that you've worked with that maybe have done that sort of transition?
I've seen a few come through the program. I've witnessed more people with an architecture background.
Oh, interesting.
Get into UI.
That makes a lot of sense.
Than product design.
Okay.
Because of the spatialness.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with, like, how do you move people through...
Yeah.
There's no physical spaces to move through. It's all virtual, but it's still spatial oriented.
Sure. Okay.
And so those skills, I think, translate quite a bit.
Interesting.
But you do see people come in with a traditional industrial design background because of, I think, the ideation part, the sketching part.
Yeah.
It still translate across either one of the domains.
Yeah. Well, design is design, right? I mean, design process is the design process, and your medium is just different. Right?
Exactly.
So I think some of us are better at some mediums than others, which is probably why you did what you did, and we're doing what we do.
Right.
It's interesting about architects and architecture students or people, because when I think about architects, if you really think about the people who delivered experience design first, it was always the architects.
Yeah.
If you look at the old churches in Europe and you look at like what Michelangelo was doing and Brunelleschi and all these guys, right? And it's just like they were always wondering how the light was going to affect the space and what the people were going to feel like in the space. And so, the experience kind of went away from industrial design and even somewhat in graphic design, maybe in the 40s and 50s and 60s until probably, what you're talking about, mid-90s to late-90s, when things started happening and moving, and the product went beyond just a singular button.
Yeah.
Right.
And you still see, like, people come up through the training of a traditional graphic designer who will go more into the branding or advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You still have that need. You still have the need of, like, that are more static-oriented, things which communicate brand and brand essence.
So would that be where you separate UX and UI design? Because I know that's kind of like a controversial area where it's like UX is different, and then some people are like, no, UX is UI and UI is UX. So where would you draw the line, or what's your take on that?
I don't have necessarily a line, and it's an argument that perplexes me quite a bit. I think I tend to come from a background like Tony where it isn't necessarily as clear. Like, I work on teams where people have a UX background, but at times it's almost indistinguishable between what does a UX person do versus what does a digital product designer do. They tend to have the same deliverables. You do have other disciplines like people who just focus on the visual aspect of it. But again, you're only, I think, solving part of the problem. I can tell you that when I worked at a larger design consultancy here in Austin, we were expected to have more than, let's say, like two or more disciplines. You were able to cover the experience side, understanding how a user would navigate through an abstracted flow of an interface, as well as be able to provide the visual surface of it, the manifestation of what that surface would be. So we're still in a lot of controversial area about which is what, you know.
Right. Yeah, I get that argument. Well, I hear that argument all the time. And it's you know, as someone that hasn't really experienced UI or UX design, yeah, from, you know, from a designer or designing it, I always wanted to ask someone.
Yeah, I think it's almost like more of what are the deliverables.
Yeah.
If you are a UX person, you will tend to have more deliverables that are faced, that are more flow-oriented, abstracted diagrams which show how people move through UIs.
Or they're written.
And it also can be written. And if you're a UI designer, you're actually showing and delivering the pixels and the specifications that an engineer would go and build those.
Okay.
Now, you do get into these situations where, like, well, what is the difference between user experience and customer experience? And that's a kind of a fine line there, because then you get into, like, is the artifact an interface at all, or is it things that are beyond the interface? For example, like, what is the customer experience at Starbucks? It can be part of the app,
right,
but what is the flow when you walk into the store,
right,
and you order a cup of coffee? And is that a pleasant experience when your order is backed up? What do you do?
Yeah. I think what's exciting is that there's a lot of opportunities. Yeah. We went to Savannah College of Art and Design. They had a job fair, and every type of company was there. I didn't go, but I was talking to one of my colleagues, and he was saying everybody was there. There was people from the CIA, there was Disney, there was, yeah, banks, insurance companies, because everybody who does something or anything needs to have some kind of UI or UX, mm-hmm, or some customer experience, a service design. They're doing something that's causing people to have to move through something, whether it's a space or a online tool. And it's you know, look in the job market in Austin,
yeah,
see how many ID jobs, traditional industrial design jobs, which I would call product design, but we really can't even call it product design anymore, because when you look up for product design jobs, I look through the job description, it's like, yeah, well, I don't have any of those skills. Like,
yeah,
I don't use any of those tools, but that's what product design is being called now. It's different types of products.
The term has been co-opted.
They took it from us.
They stole it. Yeah.
So rude. But it's absolutely a wonderful time for, let's say, a young person who's considering a career in the design industry, like,
yeah,
our kids.
Yeah.
You can go in, and there's a plethora of things you can do. When we were going to school, no, you had maybe like two or three choices.
Yeah. Architecture, yes, graphic design.
Or industrial design.
Maybe industrial design. If, yeah, your school had South Carolina, where I live, they didn't have an ID school. They didn't even know what ID was.
Right.
Even in my architecture school, there was one professor who understood what it was. And he's, yeah, like, oh, have you looked at this? And that's kind of how I got interested. I think it's really good. So if you were to give advice to a new person or somebody, obviously you're talking to your daughter, I've been talking, yeah, to my daughter about, hey, you know, design's a good career profession. It's actually, it's very broad. there's a lot of opportunities. You may study one thing, but to your point, you may come out and wind up doing something completely different, but it's still design oriented. It's still the design process. It's design thinking, right? That term that everybody uses now. If somebody was curious, what would you tell them or advise them to do?
Would that be prior to going to school or while they're in school?
Both.
So my number one thing that I'm going to tell like my daughter and the students that I'm going to mentor at a local university here is in your university study, make sure that you go out and internship in a broad number of places. I think it does a couple of things. One, it gives you a credible, you know, resume when you get your job, but it also will expose you to what are the possibilities that I can do. Some places that you normally would not consider to be a great design opportunity may be a phenomenal design opportunity. If you look at some of the enterprise opportunities, on the surface may not seem like the biggest design challenge, but they can be some of the most interesting ones to tackle. So that's one of the ones I would recommend the
most. That's pretty good. Yeah. Internships, they weren't so big. I mean, that's how I got my first job, but it was more because I needed a job.
Yeah.
And so I figured I'll get an internship. It wasn't because I thought it would help my career. And I just kind of lucked out, right? I got a job at IBM and it just happened to be a pretty rigorous place. And I kind of thought, working for, you know, doing computers, like how much fun could that be? I had no idea, right? I mean, it's really quite comical.
We had.
You're still doing computers.
I'm still making it.
We had one university that would send us students at Frog Design, and they had it in their program where they had to do an internship every third semester. So by the time the kids came out of and graduated, they had a broad background, and they probably had like a year of experience.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It took them 5 years to graduate, but like they came out, they could instantly. Offer value to an employer like almost immediately. There's also like, you know, there's so many good like material, so much good material out there right now. There's a great series on Netflix which talks about the creative industry in general.
Is that the one where they're like talking with the guy from Nike and all that? Yeah, that's a really good
series. I mean, for my kids, my daughter was like, I want to be a graphic designer. I'm like, well, you want to be a design, you don't really know what you want to be yet. Like, watch some of these videos and you can see like what are the possibilities. Look at everything around you. Everything has been designed.
Yeah,
you have an opportunity to almost do anything, you know, whether it be set design or sound design or it could be software design.
Yeah. You know? What's your biggest challenge right now?
The biggest challenge on projects I work on now is more scale. I've gone through a career where I've gone from big enterprise, did consulting, back to big enterprise, to startup, back to big consulting. When you work on larger and larger teams, previously I would have said, you know, communicating the value of design, you know, to a business owner, to an executive, to a product manager would have been our biggest challenge. I think that path was cleared by a number of things that happened in the 90s and 2000s. So I think that battle has been mostly, I think, you know, won for us. The challenge now is how do we affect companies at scale? And that's kind of one of the struggles that we're having right now with projects we're working on. Is that design works exceedingly well in small groups and small startups where you can affect change really quickly, but you get bigger and bigger chains of people, and it's a little more difficult to do the communication across, you know, teams and geographies, and especially when you deal with software because you rarely have anybody in the same office. You've got multiple geographies, time zones, and scale of team. Yeah.
How big is the team that you're working with right now?
It's a few hundred.
Really?
Yeah, it's a few hundred, but you know, it could be, it's growing quite a bit. Teams scale up and down depending on where you are in the software development process. So, one of our key constraints is just sheer communication about what are we doing, what's our vision, making sure to keep everyone aligned, how do you keep design ahead of the engineering department. Those are common everyday problems that we have.
Cool. Speaking of everyday, so what is the regular workflow or process for a UX designer? So as you know, like what does a UX designer do when they get in the office?
We normally, first thing in the morning is you will obviously go in and check mail and handle any kind of like fire drills that happen, because you're working on a time clock that is, you know, 24/7 with your different geographies you're dealing with. You normally will like meet early in the day with your teams, with your development teams. We have a practice we call stand up. I don't know if it's done that way in industrial design, but it's a typical software process where it's a ritual where everyone spends 15 minutes and they just kind of say what they did yesterday, what they're doing today, and if they have any blockers. And it's a communication method. We'll spend normally a few hours during the day doing really heads down work, really designing key artifacts, working on problem solving. And then you'll probably have one or two meetings during the day where you're collaborating with other designers, or you're collaborating oftentimes with other like product managers or development counterparts in solving problems. Then you have, hopefully you have occasionally days where you have just heads down time where there's no meetings and no interruptions. Well, I wish we had more of those.
Sure.
A lot of meetings.
A lot of communication has to happen. When you're building like, you know, really complex products, it does take a certain amount of energy is just spent in the communication process.
Yeah, I bet.
So I don't know how old you are. I know he just turned 50. I just turned 50.
I'm 52.
Are you?
Or 51.
Okay.
Really?
51, yeah.
So how do you, this is the kind of thing that I think about, you know, so it's like we're not spring chickens anymore.
Yeah.
How do you see, you know, if you said, okay, I'm going to work till I'm 65, just making it up a number, like how do you see the next 15 years of your career playing out? Like, do you feel like, okay, I enjoy what I do and I'm going to continue to do it, or okay, I'm going to maybe do something differently, maybe, you know, take a management track, or I'm going to slow down, right? I'm going to sort of exit slowly, yeah. Or who knows, right?
That's an awesome question. I spent part of my career going through a leadership and management track, but really decided to come back to the delivery of actual software artifacts and design artifacts. It's what I enjoy doing the most.
Sure.
So if I, you know, I look for where I'm heading over the next 10 years, and it's going to be, you know, more delivery based.
So a bit more hands on. Okay.
I'd like to mentor people and work with students and younger designers, and still like leading the teams. But I think my passion is much more in doing the craft and the work.
Sure.
You know, I've seen other design counterparts who go more into the sales component of it.
Yeah.
Who go more into the management side of it. Sure. And that is just not.
There's lots of ways to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the typical designer doesn't, you know, if you look at the traditional designer in their career path, by the time they've hit their 40s, they generally move into a management track. And it's fortunate, sure, that like we have opportunities at places where we can still specialize and continue down a track of technical expertise.
Yeah.
You know, now, so we're not forced into a track.
Yeah, yeah. You're still leadership, but it's more influence.
Yes.
So the expectation is that you're influencing more people in your organization and outside of your organization. So there's different types of deliverables in terms of just being a IC or individual,
right,
contributor. You have more influence. And then in some cases that I've seen, you're even allowed to have two or three direct reports.
Right. And you get to get technically in depth with certain technologies, which, yeah, if you were in a management track, you could be managing for like 5 years and suddenly find yourself with skills that
may be outdated.
Yeah. Which do frighten me.
Sure. That happens, right?
Yeah.
And
part of actually what I like doing, part of what I love doing is actually learning some of the new software. I went back at a much later age and went back and got my master's degree. Because
in the same field?
In software design. Software management.
Oh, wow.
What I found myself in my career was being called into more executive type situations where we were expected to provide leadership at a product and a strategy level. And I don't think as designers we're actually trained for that out of school. We're not trained in business and strategy and those types of.
I guess you are specifically as it applies to, you know, how to navigate your design.
Right.
But not a bigger picture.
Right. So oftentimes design is actually used in our organization as to help them figure out the strategy. So you need some level of domain expertise to come in.
Okay.
There is a part where you do need to like deliver the work, but you know, we kind of know that just working every day in the tools.
Yeah.
So what are the most common tools that you guys use, or software or skills? You know, do you need to know coding, or what have you kind of mastered now?
So, I mean, we as user interface designers still rely on tools, the newer interface tools. There's like Sketch. For a long time, Adobe had a real handle in the market where, you know, you were using like Photoshop and Illustrator and those types of tools and Flash. The traditional tools that we use now are more like Sketch. A lot of prototyping tools are out there. Like one of the biggest challenges of making software is being able to see the software before it's built. And what Photoshop did was it lets you visualize it, but it was still basically a picture of
software,
of what software was. And so there's a lot of prototyping tools now. And that does require some level of understanding of how software works, how it's built. Some designers will go much deeper into understanding computer science and at least basic coding. I've dived into that quite a bit. There are tools which enable designers to get more edging into like React development. And so it's not for every designer. Other tools are just traditional tools that we would do, which would be like design thinking stuff, whiteboarding, post-it notes, knowing, you know, the soft skills of how to extract requirements and user needs from people, and just, you know, ordinary, you know, communication.
Awesome.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, I think that's pretty good. It's kind of good to get a good high level view of kind of UI, what you've been doing.
Yeah.
Appreciate you coming down and talking to us about all this. I'd love to shoot the breeze with you a lot more. There's a lot we got to catch up on.
You bet.
You'll probably just spend 2 hours just talking about old stories from the years when we were at IBM and the interesting things that took place when we were there.
Been a good journey.
Yeah, sure has.
Sounds good.
All right.
Well, thank you guys.
Nice. Yeah, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.